Social media is one of the major innovations of the past decade, but anyone can use it, including terrorists, jihadis, and cyber caliphates. It's a phenomenon that's producing ever-rising levels of violence and cyber attacks. To give us an idea of the extent and how the government might be more effective at curbing it, James Scott, a senior fellow at the Institute for Critical Infrastructure Technology, spoke with Tom Temin.
You have done a study of this at the ICIT and found what I think we probably knew intuitively, that this is something, social media is something that the terrorists around the world have really gotten very good at using. Give us some more on how they are and the kinds of brands they're establishing with it.
Yeah, it's not just social media, but it's the surface and deep web as a whole. And the thing that's unique about cyberspace is it offers a platform for this virtual subliminal jihadization, and it's a process. This is an ideological battle. It's just as much a battle for hearts and minds as it is to expand the Islamic State. And the weaponization of social media, it offers these wound collectors and these psychologically fractured social outcasts an invitation to self-radicalize and a forum that almost expedites their path to jihadization. Self-radicalization stage is when a psychologically fractured individual is experimenting with different variants of hate, violence, and chaos. The next stage from there is the jihadization stage. And the propagandists will use social media to try to connect their particular variant of hate, violence, chaos with wherever that self-radicalizing, psychologically fractured individual is.
So this could really be operating then at two levels. One, on the surface, where these people like the truck driver in Nice, France, might have found a way to actualize his radicalization. And then the deep web is where people can go once they're radicalized for some real solid resources.
Yeah, that's where you find the more extreme variations of, the beheadings and the manifestos. Cybernetic teaches how to go dark. So a lot of jihadists will use that to start encrypting communications and things like that. So, yeah, the deep web is really where everything happens. On the surface web, you have Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Vimeo, and these are solid entry points for someone that's currently in a self-radicalizing stage but ready for something, to zero in on something, and that's where the jihadis get them.
And how well do you think the government is aware of this mechanism? And secondly, how well equipped is it to deal with it?
Yeah, the government, we have a good relationship with the agencies, Cybercom, pretty much everyone that's involved in this, and they're experiencing a lot of success. But with that success, a lot of the overt communications that were on surface web are now going dark. So what we're seeing as a success as far as propaganda on the surface web may be going down, it's escalating on the deep web and encrypted and secured communications. So I think we're possibly a victim of our own success. I do think that federal agencies do know what's going on. But this is where organizations need to protect themselves with layered security. And that's what it comes down to. I wouldn't say it's every man for himself, but it kind of is. You have Boko Haram, who is, the Nigerian prince scams, 419 scam. They're changing their entire funding strategy to go after cryptocurrencies using the distribution mechanisms that they already have to use ransomware variants. So they'll plague the general population. And then you have ISIS, which is more evolved when it comes to using the web, to merge cyber-physical recruitment and action. And these guys, they're highly evolved. They're using they're encouraging the use of various mechanisms to bring people from surface web to deep web. So they're using hashtags and bots to make it look viral, even though it's not. There's a big push right now for gamification and mobile apps and malvertising and all these next-gen type aspects of recruiting and perpetuating propaganda.
We're speaking with James Scott, senior fellow at the Institute for Critical Infrastructure Technology. The knowledge and skill at deep web and counterespionage at that level varies across federal agencies and among people. What should be the strategy now to counteract what's going on?
Again, I think, you know, if we're looking at critical infrastructure, the agencies and organizations that are managing and securing the critical infrastructure need to start using what's already out there with layered security. NIST just put out SP-800-160. That's very effective. We worked with them to do an overview of those guidelines. So we took 300-plus pages and consolidated it into around 40 pages. The month that came out, we received over 40,000 downloads. So CISOs are definitely looking for new standards. HHS just put out their guidelines for the health sector to respond to ransomware attacks. So, you know, and we also have the ISALs and the ISACs that organizations should be heavily involved in when it comes to threat sharing.
To what extent should or can some of the intelligence agencies or the military agencies not merely protect federal assets in the dark web and so forth and from attacks coming from there, but maybe go after the assets of the terrorists and blow them up?
Yeah, they are. They're going after the various financial, their money. They're going after their physical assets, taking over territory. But the thing is, for each of these actions, there's a reaction from their side. So while Cyber Command will be in there shutting down or locking up their bank accounts, they're migrating over to cryptocurrencies, you know. If the surface web accounts are being shut down and monitored, they're moving towards dark web forums.
You know? So it's almost like whack-a-mole.
Yeah, the cat and mouse game. Yeah, that's exactly right.
So as a long-term strategy, then, it sounds like it needs to be long-term with the understanding that what you do today won't be effective and you got to try something else tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, in the paper, the We kind of break down how everything is changing. The game has changed. The rules of engagement have changed. And, you know, cyberspace is definitely the new great equalizer. The Internet of Things is a new battlefield. Anonymizing tools are the new weapons of stealth. Malvertising, malware, all these things are being used. You know, zero-day arsenals, that's the new arms race and the new symbols of military supremacy. And it really does come down to the collective using the layered security mechanisms that are out there. They just have to be used.
The biggest vector for federal agencies, at least that they report, for cyber mischief is the phishing email, which are getting more and more sophisticated. Is there some connection between phishing mechanisms and these people trying to get at assets that might be hidden or encrypted in the dark web?
Yeah. Phishing, you know, like I mentioned with Boko Haram, for general population, phishing is the new fundraising mechanism, substituting the 419 scam for ransomware. But, you know, there will continue to be spear phishing attacks on executives at the agencies. And, you know, they're not the type of spear phishing attacks with spelling errors and things like that. These are spear phishing attacks where maybe they'll send three or four to an agency and they're just completely right on. And when they click on the link, it'll have some type of like black energy or some type of malware variant that's completely loaded with everything from, you know, even a keylogger. You know, it's something as simple as a keylogger can give legitimate user credentials, which can give access to elevated privileges, which can give access to everything from electronic health records to PII to proprietary plans for initiatives. You know, so yeah, the human element will unfortunately continue to be the weakest element in cybersecurity.
So it sounds like agencies that may not be directly in the military or intelligence community, but who are doing research, say, in dark web and trying to find what the terrorists are doing, should do that work on computers completely separate from their general business and email machines.
Yeah, I think most of them have evolved to that point anyway. Third parties and indirect, like federal contractors, for example, that have network access to an agency, they're the weakest element. It's not necessarily the federal agency itself. It's the federal contractors that have network access to that agency. And it comes down to the federal agencies raising the bar and forcing a higher standard, you know, for cybersecurity and cyber hygiene with these federal contractors. And I think they're doing that now.
James Scott is Senior Fellow at the Institute for Critical Infrastructure Technology. You can read more and share this interview with colleagues. Just go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.